You know, we're not quite out of May yet, so 2 months not fully in the books yet for the Major League Baseball season. But I think one thing we do know is the Braves are back to being the Braves, whether that's a good or bad thing, depending on your perspective. And the Reds, which were a great start at the beginning of the year here, and we've realized how good this division is. So even though they might be at the bottom half of it, still feel like a respectable baseball squad here. You look down on some of the other matchups today here as they continue some series with the Blue Jays in Baltimore, Twins and Pirates, Padres and Nationals. That's an interesting one to begin in the nation's capital. And the Angels going to take on the Rays. With the Braves and Reds, are the Braves the second best team, dare I say, not just in the National League, but all of baseball? Would you put them ahead of the Yankees right now from what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I would. You know, you look at run differential, they're plus 103. The Yankees are plus 89. You know, Cole looked really good a couple nights ago against Kansas City, where he had 10 strikeouts, 79 pitches, 6 2/3 innings of work. No Fried in that starting rotation right now as he's dealing with a bone bruise in his pitching elbow. So that's a concern. But, you know, the Yankees are going to be a team that's going to be defined by, you know, their starting rotation. But the way that Atlanta has played has been remarkable. It really has been. The fact that they're, you know, 19 games over the 500 mark. Wow. You know, the team with the best run differential in all of Major League Baseball is the Dodgers. But it's really, Dave, when you look at it, the complexion of baseball right now, it's the Dodgers and everybody else. The interesting aspect of that, you can look at it is them being the second best team, but they've got the more difficult path. Like, the question you have if you wake up on this Friday morning when you're looking at the complexion of the American League, you say, well, I trust the Yankees, even though, you know, I have concerns maybe Bednar back into the bullpen, whether or not they're going to come with the timely hit. They're too home run reliant. Is Judge going to build off his October from a year ago? Is the starting rotation going to hold up? But who in the American League is going to come get them? You know, do you believe in Tampa? Do you believe in Cleveland? So, you know, the Yankees right now, I don't think they're better. I don't think what we've seen on the field, they're better than Atlanta. Atlanta might be the second best team in Major League Baseball, but they've got discernibly the more difficult path to get to where they want to go, which is the Fall Classic.
You know, I really like the Padres. They're 7 games over 500, but yet they're not hitting. They're not hitting with the guys that you expect to hit at the top of that lineup. So I wonder if they're kind of a house of cards. They're going to start that series in D.C. against the Nationals. The reason why I bring that up, and Jensen and I had a conversation about this earlier in the week, and I brought it up with our managing editor, Adam Burke, as well. The Nats are 13-1 to make the postseason. 13-1. The only two teams that are longer in the National League are the Marlins at 14-1 and the Rockies at 35-1. So the betting market does not expect this to last in D.C. And the pitching, obviously, is a key reason why people think this might be a house of cards. But will we be worried about the Padres at all? Because right now it looks great. 7 games over 500. You've got the second wild card. I know it's still May. Out just behind Arizona. But I kind of worry about San Diego a little bit. Do they have the staying power here, Mark, to be as good as they've been in the first 2 months?
Yeah, and I'd be a little bit concerned as well, right? Is it, as you mentioned, Dave, a little bit of a house of cards? We get into the sustainability aspect. We were talking about it in hour number one when we were looking through the June win totals, right? And you made a play for Kansas City at 75-1. I talked about the Milwaukee Brewers at 8-1. I was a little chalky. Mm-hmm. You went, and I give you all the respect of digging deep into the numbers when you're looking at Kansas City. When you look at San Diego and, you know, you say to yourself, okay, from what we've seen so far, right? 7 games over the 500. Mark, but the sustainability factor, right? What needs to improve and what they're doing well, can they continue to maintain it at a certain level? And yeah, I'd be concerned in terms of San Diego. The Nats are an interesting team. You know, they've got some good young players. You know, they're not a, you know, and they play to it. You mentioned their odds in terms of making the playoffs in the National League. I don't know if they can get all the way there, but I don't think this is a doormat of a team, and they haven't played like it up until this point in time either.
So with the Rays and Angels beginning, you would think this would be a nice bounce back spot for the Rays. They really got their heads handed to them there a little bit, hats handed to them in Baltimore and Charm City earlier this week. But what I said right here in this program about a month ago, I thought at $1.25, that's what the Yankees were to win the division. I thought that was the best bet you could make. Now they're up to $1.85. Remember, this got almost to $5 on the Yankees and it came plummeting down with the Rays resurgence. You still get Tampa Bay at a plus $1.85. to win this division. Where are we on Tampa? Because I think we think the Yankees are going to be fine, as you mentioned, with Cole back. Will they make moves? But Tampa, do we think that's a bit fugazi, or are they real?
Yeah, I listen, I think it's remarkable. Like, let me start the conversation. It's remarkable what Tampa's able to do, given the fact of what they spend, right? And how they're able to continue to go out there and procure talent, develop that talent, buy into the Tampa Bay Rays system. I just don't think what we have seen here for nearly the first, you know, 2.5 months of the year, you know, I don't think it's they're going to be on the level of the Yankees. And then you throw into the fact, Dave, of you want to bring the conversation full circle when you're looking into these futures markets, when you look at the MLB trade deadline and what teams will do, given the fact of who's going to be aggressive and who's not going to be aggressive. I have every reason to believe that the Yankees will be. Now, you might say to yourself, okay, go above and beyond. Why is that? Because if you look at some of the moves that the Yankees have done this year, they've been a little bit different and have addressed needs, calling up a Spencer Jones, what they've decided to do in terms of keeping Anthony Volpe down because of Jose Caballero and what he was playing before he fractured the ring finger on his hand, right? The things that they've done here, they've leaned into what they are seeing on the field. I believe that, you know, if we're being real here, the major market teams know that there's going to be financial change in some way, shape, or form following this season, that there are going to be teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers are going to remain super aggressive. But if we focus in on the Yankees, I think, and realizing they have not won a World Series, even with the brilliance of Aaron Judge, haven't won a World Series since 2009. I look at this season as the Yankees going out there and saying, we're going to be really, really aggressive at the MLB trade deadline to try and win a World Series for the first time in the better part of 17 years.
When I look at the Rays and then the Yankees salary cap, that's what it screams to me. So we'll whisper that today here. I gotta do this, Mark. I gotta ask about those Metropolitans. They're gonna begin a series here with the Fighting Fish from Florida, and the Marlins always seem to beat up the Mets no matter where they play. I don't know why. You know, I mentioned in context with the Nationals being 13-1 to make a wild card, then Mets are 6-1. How in the world could you take that number with the disaster that it's been over there in Queens so far to begin the year? Is there any hope that Juan Soto can just homer every day and figure out a way to sustain this offense? Because, Mark, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't. Dave, I'm with you. I feel for you, Dave. Every time the Mets lose, I think of Dave Ross. Every time you know, I see them not backing up a pitcher not backing up a base, I think of Dave Ross. Or listening to Mendoza after a game, and you know, I do. Oh. I know you live, eat, and breathe Met baseball on a day in, day out basis. It's hard to envision it. You know, it really is. But it was hard to envision it 2 years ago when they all of a sudden got hot and, you know, OMG and Grimace and everything that came along to it. And they went all the way to the National League Championship Series. The offense, here's the real, it's Soto and not much else. That's it. And he can only do so much. He really can. And you've had too many games. There's too many easy outs in that lineup to think that all of a sudden they're going to get back. I think there's a belief that, you know, Cohen is all of a sudden going to go and be super aggressive, and the Mets are going to go out there and be super aggressive, and they're going to go add a bat, and he doesn't want to see this kind of losing and doesn't want to see an empty ballpark as this summer goes along out there at Citi Field. I think that's the only reason to believe that, where you would take the Mets at, what you mentioned, the odds at 6.5-1 to make it to the playoffs in the National, 6-1 to make the playoffs of the National League as compared to the Washington Nationals, based on what we have seen. And what we have seen so far is that the Mets are not a good team.
See, the Phillies and the Dodgers are going to begin a series out there in LA. And again, Phillies playing really good baseball right now. Donnie Baseball taking over there. It seems like that's the magic elixir. Could we be looking into the crystal ball here when you watch Philadelphia and LA and say, hey, we might see you again down the road somewhere?
Maybe. I'm happy for Donnie Baseball. I really am. You know, never won a World Series. Listen, Rob Thompson, good guy as well, former, you know, Yankee as well. But Mattingly taking over as manager down there in Philadelphia, you know, it was the right thing that they needed to do at the time to kind of light a fire under this team. Maybe. I just don't think Philadelphia is on the level of Atlanta. Could we potentially see a Philly Dodger series in the playoffs? Yeah, potentially. I don't think it will be for all the marbles there. I'd be surprised if the Dodgers aren't there. And as we talked about, you open up the conversation, you look at how well Atlanta, and a team that kind of flew under the radar, but they put all their struggles and all their injuries from a year ago behind them, and they've been utterly brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, as a Met fan, we're not allowed to root for the Phillies. That's just baseball rules. But you would like to see Donnie Baseball do well. We'll leave it at that. Yankee,
you do fans. Love the fanatic, though. Back. Everybody loves the Philly fanatic. Love the fanatic.
Except Tommy Lasorda. He didn't seem to like him back in the day. Lou Finocchiaro is going to join the program next right here on Beeson by the Books.